Morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Am I on okay? So I'm sure this is going to be said next week when Masala's back, but just wanted to give one more announcement. We just want to thank Rob and Sandy for being the senior pastor over the last 3 months. So can you guys stand? Let's just thank you guys. Thank you so much. I'm sure Masala's going to do that, but we wanted to thank him today because he's going to be recovering over the next 3 months and also taking a sabbatical. So we don't know if he'll be around, but thank you so much, guys. It's been wonderful to liaise with Rob, and he's done a great job. It's good to be with you. Guys well? Are you guys well? Good. Need to hear a few amens. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me to 1 Samuel 18, please? 1 Samuel 18. We're going to look at godly friendship today, and we're going to look at the relationship between Jonathan and David in 1 Samuel 18, just a wonderful passage. I'm going to read that. And this is a Bible. This book is a Bible I'm reading from, just to let you know, those of you that are all electronic this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 18, and it says, as soon as he had finished speaking with Saul, and David has just killed Goliath, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. And so I want to talk to you this morning about friendship and godly friendship, and we're going to be looking at the relationship between David and Jonathan, this famous friendship in the Old Testament, and I really trust it's going to speak to us today and stir our hearts as we come to God's Word today. It's really a privilege to be among you and with you again today. And so what does this word friendship mean? What is a friend? What does that word mean, to be a friend, a Mikey, someone who's close to us? Well, it really means a loyal companion, a soulmate, someone who accepts you unconditionally, who's there for your growth and your blessing, and sticks with you through difficult times, as we see that Jonathan did with David. And so Jonathan was an incredible friend to David, and saved his life on a number of occasions. When David was in trouble, Jonathan was there to kind of rescue him and help him as well. And God brought Jonathan into David's life at a very critical time, when he was just coming into prominence and Saul was using him, and Jonathan was there to kind of help David. And so it's an amazing story, really. And they were knit together, heart to heart and soul to soul, the Bible tells us. Aristotle, one of the Greek philosophers, said, friendship is a single soul in two bodies. And so they were knit together. And we may not know what to do with friendships like this. We may ask ourselves, were they gay? That they loved each other like this and kissed and embraced each other? Do we have categories for this kind of friendship today? Well, no, they weren't gay. They were men, real warriors. But they loved each other passionately, and God brought them together and knit their hearts together in an amazing way. And it involved chemistry, and it involved connection. And so this morning I want to talk to you about friendship. What is friendship? What is true friendship? What does the Bible tell us about friendship? And how can we get it? Look at that. There's a great picture. It's just disappeared. A covenant of friendship. So I promise I won't look behind me again. Is it there? Okay, there it is. Okay. True friendship between David and Jonathan. Okay, so
My first point is this, and I pinched a few points from Tim Keller as well, but the first point is this: the absolute necessity or need we have for true friendship. We all need deep friends. We all need friendship today. It's so important, and they're not always very common. Sometimes we can find, even in the body of Christ, even in the church, we might not find friendships like this. We can be friendly, but we may not have such deep friendships as existed between David and Jonathan. I have a few friends like this in my own life that have gone back decades, and we've stuck together over many, many years. We see in Scripture such friendship a few times. We see it with Jesus and John. So Jesus had different levels of friendship. He spoke to the crowds. He discipled a core of 12 disciples. And then he had three that were even closer, Peter, James, and John. You remember? And then out of the three, who was the one that got the closest? It was John. And John was the one who got the closest, it seems, to Jesus. And at the Last Supper, he had his head on Jesus' chest as they were reclining, and he was talking to Jesus with his head on his chest. And so Jesus knew these kinds of friendships as well. And David and Jonathan had a friendship based on a covenant. They agreed together to be there for one another and to never let one another down. It was a mutual agreement, twice renewed, and it involved, as I said already, a heart connection. And when David was in trouble with Saul, Saul was trying to kill him on a number of occasions. And Jonathan was there to rescue him and to save him and to restore him and bring him back into his father's presence. And so this younger Jonathan was an incredible young man. He really was amazing. And I think he lived a very stressful life, because on the one hand, he loved David and he was loyal to David. And on the other hand, he had his demonized, unstable father running around trying to kill him. Killed both David and Jonathan. He was throwing spears at them. And he was kind of caught between the two. And yet he remained such a good friend. And at key moments in David's life, he came to David and he spoke words of encouragement to David. And he pointed him to God. And he reminded him of the promises of God. And he said to David, David, you're going to be king one day. And I'll serve with you. And so it's absolutely incredible what he did. And he spoke words of encouragement to David over and over again. He put courage into David. And that's what a friend does. A friend is there to encourage you and to stand with you and to speak words of courage and blessing into your life. It's so important. You can't really get through the Christian life without friends. You can't. We need each other. We need friends. And even in a marriage, you know, your spouse needs to be your best friend and supportive of you. And in your family as well. A true friend, that's what's so important. We find that even in the Garden of Eden, right in the beginning, although it was paradise, the Bible tells us that Adam was lonely. Adam was alone. And that's, why is that? That is because Adam was created in the image of God, and not that God is lonely, because God's a Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but because we're like God, we have need for relationship. And God saw that, and he brought Eve into his life, and he brought him a soulmate and connected him with Eve as well, because we're made in the image of God, and we are relational beings, and we need friends. We need each other. I've got a friend of mine at the gym, somebody we gym with, and he works in the prison. He's a prison warder. And I love asking him stories about the prison. And apparently there's a serious prison in Kokstad where they keep all the hardened criminals. He says, yeah, but what we do is they give us trouble. We put them in solitary confinement. And he says, after a while in solitary confinement, they beg to come out and behave themselves. Because even the hardened criminals need relationship. They need to be with others and not to be on their own. And so that's how God has made us. He's made us for friendship. He's made us to connect with other people as well. And friends, we need to keep our eyes on this and ask the Lord for these kinds of friendships and also to be a friend to others. That's what I want to talk to you about today, particularly men to men and woman to woman. I think women do better at this than the men do, because women live in a world of people and men tend to live in a world of things sometimes. But we need to make that connection with each other and go deeper in our relationships. I think people come to church mainly, not just for the worship and not for the preaching, but they come to meet friends, don't they? They come for fellowship. They come to connect together. And so it's so important. And so what is friendship made of? Okay, what's friendship made of? That's my second point. First of all, it's made of constancy. It's made of faithfulness. Where the Proverbs chapter 18 verse 24 said, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we need sticky friends. We need people that are going to stick with us through thick and thin. People who will always let you in and never let you down. Friends who are going to be with you even when you make mistakes. Can you say amen? They're with you. And sometimes, can I say this, in the church, a leader can do well for 20 years or 30 years, and then they make a mistake, and we move on. Forgetting what's behind, we press on. And we need to, may I say, we're not condoning sin, but we need to stick to one another even when we make mistakes. We need to. We need to do that. It's so important. And I'm not going to dump you. I'm not going to betray you. I'm not going to let you down. Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. With a kiss. Judas came and got so close to him. He said to the soldiers, the one I kiss, he's the Messiah. He's the one you need to arrest. Because Jesus wasn't hovering above the ground, glowing. He looked like the other disciples. So to point him out, Judas said, I'm going to kiss him. And he went up and Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss you betray the Son of Man? Maybe you've been betrayed in a friendship. Maybe you know it hurts. I have. Sometimes it hurts deeply. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is true friendship, we don't do that. It's so important. We overlook mistakes. We stick to one another through thick and through thin. Amen. So important. So it's constancy, but then also transparency. They're open with their feelings. They're intimate with each other. Intimacy. They're open with each other. They're saying, I love you. David and Jonathan embraced one another. And they were showing their feelings, although these were tough guys. We find in Acts chapter 20, when the apostle Paul calls the Ephesian elders and he's about to move on, he tells them he's going. They'll never see his face again. They knelt down and they're kissing and they're holding hands together and hugging each other because they were so upset that the Apostle Paul was going to leave them. I remember years ago when I worked in Khayelitsha, we planted a church in the townships in the 1980s when everything was going crazy. And we were building friendships cross-culturally. It was one of the ways we wanted to show in the new South Africa the kingdom of God. It was through cross-cultural church planting. Hallelujah. And I remember the one time something happened to me that really scared me. Can I just demonstrate this? Rob, would you just come forward for a moment? And I remember, as we started to get to know each other, and as we began to build relationships, the one day we were walking in Khayelitsha, we were walking down the road, and the one guy took my hand, and he just walked with me down the road. And here's this white guy, and this guy from Khayelitsha is holding my hand and walking down the road, and I thought, this means we're getting to be good friends. But I was so nervous. But it was wonderful. Hallelujah. It was a great cultural experience for me, holding another man's hand for a while. Proverbs 27 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And it means I've also got friends that are close enough to me to be able to speak to me and point out things in my life and be there for me. That's important. And so it's constancy, it's transparency. And number three, it's common passion and common vision. It's so important that we have that as well. We see that David and Jonathan didn't have a friendship based on eating together, but it was a spiritual friendship. It was a prophetic friendship. They understood what God was doing. They knew David was anointed. He wasn't just gifted, he was anointed. God's anointing, lubrication, blessing was on his life. Everything David touched, God would work miracles around. Things would happen. And Jonathan could see that. He could see God was with David. And they were caught up in what God was doing. The bigger picture. And that's what keeps us together as friends. It's not just being friends on a human level. It's following hard after God. It's so important that we're friends together as Christians. And that's what Jonathan saw in David, and he followed him. And what he did is Jonathan took off his robe, and he took off his sword and his armor as well, which were symbols of his priestly status, and he gave them to David. And he said, "These are for you, David." And he was for him. And it's like friendship with Jesus. Jesus does that for us, doesn't he? He swears, "I'm never going to leave you or forsake you, even to the end of the age." Hallelujah. Jesus has made an unbreakable friendship with us. It's non-negotiable. And Jesus covers us with his robe of righteousness. And Jesus shed his blood for us. And he gives us the armor, the spiritual armor we need to protect ourselves with, and the sword of the Spirit to wage warfare in his name, and arrows for prayer as well. Jesus equips us as well. And we find that when Saul and Jonathan died in battle, David sings the song of the bow in 2 Samuel chapter 1. And he mourns and honors them both. He honors the guy. He honors Saul, who spends a lot of his time trying to kill David. And he weeps and he honors them. There was an incredible level of friendship and togetherness and love for each other as well. It was amazing. And so we need to do this. And so what kills friendships? Let me move on. What kills friendships today? Well, I think in many ways, what kills friendships is the cultural climate we live in. I think we live in an age of selfishness sometimes, where we live for ourselves. And we're looking inward. We've lost, the society has lost the big God picture, that God's in charge, and we can look to God. And so if God's gone, and there's no big story about the Lord, who can we trust? Well, we look inside, and we trust ourselves, and we become selfish and inward-looking. And it leads to great loneliness sometimes in society. People are lonely today. And in more advanced societies, if we take Japan for example, I was reading a bit on Japan the other day. Japan is a society where there's a lot of loneliness. They have a minister of loneliness in Japan. Not just the minister of social development or minister of water. So don't tell Ramaphosa, he'll appoint another minister and he's got plenty already. But there's a minister of loneliness in Japan because people are struggling with loneliness. And sometimes grandkids are too busy to go and visit their grandparents. And so what they do, they hire actors who go to the grandparents and pretend to be the children. And the grandparents play along because they're just desperate for some human contact. And you can go to certain cafes and shops to have coffee, and you can sit in a huggy chair where they put these arms around you so you can have somebody hug you and hold you and listen to you. And we're living in an age of loneliness, and we need to care for each other and care for people. We need that. Thank God in Africa there is more Ubuntu, but Ubuntu is also being shaken as we adopt Western values and selfishness. We need Ubuntu today. We really need Ubuntu. We need to care for each other and notice each other. Not just in the church, but when we're out in town and so on. We need to keep our eyes on people. Ubuntu, Ubuntu, Kabantu. We need that. We need that togetherness. I am who I am because of you and us together. It's so important. And so loneliness can cause us to not have friends. And sometimes technology as well. We live on our phones. I love my cell phone as well, but we live on our phones. We wake up to our phones in the morning, an alarm clock, and then we do on social media, and then we sometimes Zooming others, and then we on YouTube, and then we sending messages at night. And this little device can cause you to lose relationships with real people. And we're texting one another. How are you? Fine. Me too. What you doing? Don't know. So sometimes you need to put your phone down Or move from texting to making a voice call, talking to people, and then putting your phone down and talking to people face to face. Oh, hallelujah. That is radical. Talking to people, real people, and touching them and watching their eyes and their and bodily contact and ministering to one another. We need that today. So I'm not just loving things and using people and worshiping myself, but I'm using things and loving people and worshiping God. And so use technology, but don't allow devices to cause you to lose touch with people. Sometimes you need to just go and see people and connect with people and pray for people. It's so important. It's so important. We spend hours on our phones, and we must watch that. And so, you know, that's the other thing that sometimes kills relationships. We must be careful. We must be careful of that. And that's why young people today, they battle to young men to find a girl to marry. I took an Uber last week, and I love talking to Uber drivers. It's wonderful. And those that like talking. And I was talking to the guy, and I was talking to him, and he said, he's 25, and I said, are you married? No, not yet. And we spoke a bit about Lobola and this and that. And I said, I got married when I was 20, and nearly crashed the car. He said, what? 20? I said, yes, I had two kids by the time I was 25. That's what we did in my generation. He said, wow, and our kids had left home by the time we were 44. And so we're in an age today where relationships and connecting, and we need to work on that. We really, really do. It's so important. And doing that in big groups as well is important. And so we need that. And not to weaponize our phones as if you don't like someone or you're offended with someone. And you see those blue ticks. And you say, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to answer you. We ignore you. We cut you off. Now, I know you've never done that. Never done that. I know that. But I mean, other people do that. You don't want to do that. You want to try and answer every message you get. And I've learned Christians love those little emoji with praying hands. You can always put that in as well. Those always work. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we've got to be aware we're living in a society where people are lonely. We need to connect with people. We need to use technology to love people and make sure it doesn't cut us off from people. And don't always rely on your phone to build a relationship. And then also don't triangulate. You know, and this is a difficult one, but you know, I've spoken to you so many times before, but triangles break relationships. And so you find that there was David here, and there was Jonathan here, and there was Saul here, and Saul was trying to kill David, but instead of Jonathan and David just talking to each other, or Jonathan going to talk to somebody else, what Jonathan did, he went back to Saul, and he went back to the area, the source of the problem, and he spoke to his father about David. He didn't just speak to David about his father and complain to David. And so he spoke to his father, and it says in 1 Samuel 19, and Saul spoke to Jonathan and his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, Saul, my father seeks to kill you, therefore be on your guard. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, don't do this, it's not good. Don't sin and take innocent blood by killing David without cause. And Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan. Hallelujah. And friends, it's so important that we do that, that we don't just complain about people, but we go back to the source and we speak to people even when it's difficult. It's so important. And Jonathan does that. And he speaks to his father. He says, no, you can't kill David. And Saul listens to Jonathan as well. And so you can have a very powerful effect as someone close to a leader. You can have a very powerful effect. You can do so much good by speaking good about a leader and by supporting a leader. It's so important. And Jonathan did that. He went to his father and said, you can't do this. He spoke sense to his father. And he had such a good impact on his father. And we can do that as well. When we first came to take over this church in 1998, the first while was tough. I was getting used to things. And there was challenges in the church as well. And one day, Gary Smith, one of the elders, he stood up and he said, come on, let's support Craig and Shannon. And I thought, that sounds pretty good. And it really helped a lot to galvanize the people as well. Because sometimes you can't say that yourself, but somebody else can stand up and say, come on, let's do this. And it really helped. And so you can play a major role in being positive and holding on to friendships like this. It's really important. Okay, and so we need to do that. And I think the things you're doing with sisterhood and the hikes you're doing as men, where we're not just sitting in rows, but we're facing each other and doing things in circles, I think it's absolutely wonderful. Well done, well done, well done. And so as I close, finally, where do we get the power and the motivation for friendships like this? Where do we get the strength from for friendships like this? And I want to close with this. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus said something amazing. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No greater love has a man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus starts talking to them as his friends in John 15 before the cross. He says, you are my friends if you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants. A servant does not know what his master is doing. I call you friends because everything I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Hallelujah. And friends, the church is a great circle, an ever-expanding circle of friends. That's what the church is. Hallelujah. It's a circle of friends. And you and I have been chosen for friendship with God and with one another. We've been chosen for friendship. I don't know if you've ever looked at things like that. To love one another, to obey Jesus, and to bear fruit that will last. And true friendship is very, very missional. Jesus said, by this will all people know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. Hallelujah. You have love for one another. You're there for one another. Support one another. Pray for one another. And in John 17, he goes on and Jesus says something incredible. He's praying now to the Father. Listen to what he says. You may not realize this before. He says, Father, I've manifested your name. I've shown your name to the people you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words you gave me, and they've received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. Do you know that God the Father, He first initiated friendship with you? God the Father chose you. Do you know that? God the Father, talk about the Father heart of God. You want to know about the Father heart of God? God chose you. God chose you for friendship. He chose you to be part of His family. Hallelujah. He was the first one. And then He gave you, as it were, to His Son Jesus, who died for you and declared to you all that the Father had told Him. Hallelujah. And so that's what the Bible tells us. He chose you and brought you in, and you and I became part of his family even before He gave you to Jesus, His Son. And Jesus continues to reveal the Father to His disciples and declare the mission of God to them. Beloved, this is the bigger picture. The Father loves the Son and the Spirit loves the Father and the Son. This relationship in the Trinity, and we've been brought into that, this love relationship. That we should love God and love one another, because love is of God. God is love. And he brings us into this amazing love relationship that cuts across your tribe and your culture and your background and your age. It cuts through all those things. And he brings us into his family. Hallelujah. And it demonstrates the kingdom of God to people. People look and they say, but you guys love each other. You really love each other. You're there for each other. And so as I close, let me leave you with a bit of a challenge. What if we became champions of covenantal love and encouragement with one another? What happens if we took it up a gear and we said, you know, I'm going to go out of my way to be an encourager of others and to speak when I need to speak and not just be silent. And to speak words of encouragement, committed to lifting you up as a true friend, instead of just being friendly, but to be a true friend. If you want a friend, be a friend. Make a friend. Hallelujah. Don't miss the opportunity, because true friendship is a godly thing. It's a godly thing. And here we've got a wonderful example of David and Jonathan, and the other examples in Scripture, where they loved each other and they made a covenant around that friendship and that love. And they were prepared to die for each other and they were there for each other. It's so important. I found so often in my Christian life, the Lord will drop people into my heart, and sometimes just to phone them or send a message. That is so often the Holy Spirit does that. Just being available for people and to care for people and to respond to people. And so well done, Grace Jen, in the way we're doing this. But let's do it all the more. Can we do that? The Bible says, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. Encouragement is an end time occupation. It is. It's something we should be doing more and more as we see the day approaching. So let me encourage you to be an encourager of others. Let me encourage you to be a friend of others. Hallelujah. Can we do that? Can we do that? In our marriages, in our friendships, and beyond that. Just say, I'm going to be a friend. Lord, who do you want me to befriend? Who do you want me to reach out to? And we do that even as David and Jonathan did that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to do that today by breaking bread together. Okay? And this table is open to all those who know and love the Lord Jesus. If you don't know the Lord this morning, if you don't know Jesus this morning, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to open your heart to him. He died for you. He lived for you. And he rose again. Hallelujah. So that you could not just become a Christian, not just get saved, not just have your sins forgiven, which is so important, but that you could be his friend. You could be the friend of God. You could come into that circle of friends. Hallelujah. And so that's what God did for us. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what he did for me. That's what he did for you. And so this morning, we're going to break bread together. I'm going to break this bread. I'm going to pray over this bread. It reminds us of the Last Supper, where Jesus sat down with his disciples at that Last Supper, pointing to the Jewish Passover. Thanks, Rob. Pointing to the Jewish Passover, where they were rescued out of Egypt. And Jesus reinterprets it, and he says, this is now a new covenant. Don't worry, they're not leaving, they're just getting the bread and the grape juice at the back. And Jesus says to his disciples, my friends, this is now a new covenant, a covenant that has been through my broken body, it's been established through my broken body, my body that was broken for you. And he says to his disciples, I want you to take and eat of this. Just hang on, can we just wait a minute before we, just wait a minute before we hand it out. Just hang on 1 minute, please, thanks. I just want you to listen. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said to his disciples, take this and eat this. This bread represents my body that was broken for you to bring you into a new covenant, to bring you into that friendship, that unbreakable friendship. Hallelujah. And then he took the cup and he said, this cup represents my blood that is going to be shed for you to wash away all your sins. Hallelujah. To cleanse you completely, once and for all, to wash you clean so that you can come into the Father's presence and have fellowship with Him and with the rest of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And so friends, this is for you. If you're a Christian today, if you're not, come to the front. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to lead you to Christ. But we want to celebrate His death and His resurrection this morning. And what I'd like you to do is just stand where you are and break into small groups of 3 or 4 or 5 people. Can we do that now? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Let's stand together. Just turn to the person, people next to you. And we're going to pass around the emblems. And we're going to partake of them. But we're also going to speak words of encouragement to one another. Can we do that this morning? And so, Lord, we pray as we break bread this morning that You would bless this participation, Lord. Thank You. It reminds us of Your death and resurrection and what You did to bring us into friendship. And, Lord, we pray this morning that You would do a deep work in us, Lord. You would wash us clean from any sin we've committed, Lord. You would draw us closer to Yourself. And You would work in our hearts, Lord, to have a greater love for You and for one another, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.